Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, we are beginning the season of Lent this Ash Wednesday. Are there any announcements before we get started? I think that's probably most of those were covered on Sunday, but just as a reminder of why we do this this day and observe these holidays within the church year. Today, Ash Wednesday, is the marking of the beginning of those 40 days through Lent, and Diane did a great job of explaining this to the kids during Kids Connection tonight, but these 40 days don't actually include the Sundays, so we actually end up having 46 days if we would include those, and we look at Sundays as almost like this mini Easter. And so through these 40 days, we get to experience a similar 40 days that Jesus went through when he was in the wilderness and being tempted, and that's something that we get to reflect upon, and how that our life is full of those temptations, and it eventually leads us to the cross where we recognize that we can have that forgiveness that Christ poured out for us. And that's why we practice tonight those ashes that we talk about, the dust you are and to dust you shall return. Those are the very words that God spoke to Adam in the garden. And so we say those words over us because we also sometimes will say them at a Christian burial. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, we commit this body unto the Lord. And so it reminds us that we are mortal, that we need a Lord that's going to give us eternal life and offer us life and salvation, but we also do the sign of the cross to remind us of our baptism. And it's convenient that the font is right here when we do these announcements, but also it'll be kind of right here when I get to do the ashes toward the end of the service. But with that, let's go ahead and open up with our opening hymn, LSB 423. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, on this day, the Church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on the Lord's word and draws from it life and hope. It is our prayer that our Heavenly Father, for the sake of his beloved Son, and in the power of his Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lententide so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. We confess together.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Hear the good news, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. It is my joy then to announce that Jesus has forgiven all of us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you forgive the sins of all who come to you with penitent and contrite hearts. Grant us the spirit of true repentance to acknowledge our sins and to find in your forgiveness and restoration, wholeness, and peace. Through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings. Our first reading for this Ash Wednesday comes from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent, and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests and ministers of the Lord weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading for Ash Wednesday is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and chapter 6. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, but on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. We now sing our sermon hymn, LSB 437. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Hypocrite. That word is often so used against the Lord's church on earth, and people will use it in our culture and they'll say, oh, those Christians, the church is just full of hypocrites. And no doubt they have seen scandal after scandal, and they have seen things that have happened within maybe their own community or things that happened in the church that they once went to, and they have experienced these terrible acts of evil that make them say, well, what a bunch of hypocrites. And so they see Christians come off as maybe condescending and nasty. Of course, there's some good people that they'll say. They're nice people, they get along, and they're part of the social group. But those other ones that are kind of just hiding it, and they just try to be a part of this thing and get along with everybody else and show their works to everybody because that's how they fit into this little social gathering that they've established. And so they think that the Christian might be seeking after the approval of the people around them instead of really the approval of God. And of course, the church is full of sinners, no doubt, but that does not mean the church is full of hypocrites. See, a hypocrite has an issue of the heart. A hypocrite really has an issue that goes beyond just actions. It's not something that has to do with what they're doing. It's actually more about what's going on in here. And one thing, it's really more about truly believing one thing and then actually believing another, and your actions reflect the thing that you don't believe. That's what they're trying to show. A hypocrite doesn't want to change because that heart is bent against their actions. They don't want to actually show what they truly believe because what they truly believe is something different. And so hypocrisy is actually the opposite of what we would call repentance. Repentance being that change in our actions, a change in our heart, and recognizing that we have a need to change our hearts at times when we have fallen short. And someone who is repentant recognizes their faults and they flee from them so they don't try and do it again. They try to stop it from happening. And repentance always and is going to continue to be a part of the church until Christ's return because we're all fallen creatures that must continue in that way and ask our Lord for forgiveness. But to those outside the church, sometimes this repentance and this turn of heart can look like you're just trying to get a get-out-of-jail-free card, or you're trying to quickly sweep your actions under the rug to try and hide them, to really just, you're not making up for what you did, you're not truly asking for forgiveness, but it's to quickly cover up what you've done. And this, of course, isn't what we mean by repentance, though. This is not what the Christian does when they repent. It's actually that we desire to see our faults because we recognize that we do things that are not appropriate, things that are wrong, things that we need to actually confront head on. And so we desire that forgiveness from our Lord, recognizing that our words and deeds are not always acceptable. Repentance is not hypocrisy. And as we enter this Lenten season, we enter a season of repentance. Have we said that word enough yet? Because it's going to keep going on. A season reflecting more deeply on our need for Christ and his death. Part of this reflection involves assessing what goes on in our heart and seeing what our true intentions behind our actions are. And some of those intentions might not always be good. Sometimes our actions are doing exactly what Jesus said. And so he began our text by saying these words, practicing righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Jesus' point wasn't about like, oh, you can't go out and show your Christianity to everybody out in the world. It's more about if you're going out there to go give me some more attention, you're getting the wrong idea. And that's what he's saying is he's really making us ask this question, are we doing our acts to get attention and to be seen but good by others, or maybe trying to fit this little clique that we have been involved in, or is it out of sincere devotion to our Father in heaven and recognizing our sincerity that we need to go to him for forgiveness? And Jesus clearly was not saying that public displays of faith are bad. He was saying, though, that those public displays of faith that are just trying to get yourself to look good is hypocritical, that it's because it's lost the focus on what those things are actually about. And that's what these people were doing, getting all these prayers, they're saying their hoity-toity words because they just wanted to be seen by people. But I think so often our culture will get this mixed up. This text can easily be misunderstood as don't practice your faith publicly anywhere, ever, or at all. And a Christian who shares his faith sometimes outside of his home or outside of the church walls, culturally, they can sometimes be labeled like, oh, he's self-righteous. He's out there talking about Jesus well, he's just trying to show off or something. They might not go as far to say, oh, that guy's a hypocrite, because they'll go, oh, he's a nice guy, he's telling people about Jesus, but he's just showing off a little. But there's also other examples, ones that we see pretty regularly that almost are the exact opposite of what Jesus is describing, that these people are going out and being public. We actually have the exact, I think, almost opposite issue here in America, where people are now saying that, oh, we can't have the Ten Commandments in a public place because that's infringing upon people's religious freedom, or you got to take the cross out of the town square because someone was offended by it, or you have to, especially the most egregious, I think, is public school teachers that aren't even allowed to talk about their faith at all because they might be penalized from the people in the high-ups that might say, oh, well, you know, you can't do that here because those kids don't need to hear that stuff. And so all of this is to reflect and say that our culture sometimes looks at the exact opposite thing. Our faith is something to be kept to Sunday and to your home, and that should be good enough. At least that's what they think. But now, of course, if we go and do exactly what Jesus said, if we're going out and flaunting our faith and we just do good actions in front of people because we want to be seen and loved and praised, yeah, we're doing exactly what he warned against. Desiring praise and adoration from people is just making our devotion about the Lord less about him and more about us, and really not even less about him, it becomes all about us. So true hypocrisy, though, I think goes a little bit beyond this. It's not just in your actions, but it's not just being seen by others and doing something contrary to what you believe, but hypocrisy really is paying lip service. It's that heart issue, that you actually don't believe the stuff to begin with in your heart, so you're just going out there and doing it to show off. And so while their actions might appear godly, their heart is far from that. And a true hypocrite is only playing the part. They don't really believe that they're a sinner, and they just do all the right things and say all the right things to try to just fit in to where they want to belong. In other words, they won't really truly have a repentant heart because their heart doesn't desire that change because they don't think that they need it. They don't really think that their actions matter because they're just trying to show what they think is right, or what they want to think is right. And so true hypocrisy makes a person look less for forgiveness, and they think they're above it because they don't really see a need for it. And we might think of a few examples in our own lives, maybe that we see happen even among ourselves at times, especially when we look at what Scripture says and how we actually perform in our lives. Jesus said, love your enemies. But we don't even do that sometimes. We have trouble loving our neighbors and maybe even loving people that are close to us, even in our congregation at times. It becomes tough because it's sometimes frustrating to try and get along. And there's a struggle of showing that love at times. You might even watch your neighbor gossip, and then you hear them say something about you or someone else, all the while Scripture says you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And we always will say, forgive as Christ has forgiven you, but when that person that's offended us comes up to us sometimes and they come up with that apology, you might not always be all that ready to say, I forgive you. And sometimes you might say it, but you might reflect back on it and you did it through gritted teeth and said, I forgive you, but you might not have actually meant it, especially if you look back on what you did. And all of this is just to show that our examples here show us that sometimes our heart isn't actually in it. And that's where really that word hypocrite is all about, is that it's the heart is the problem, not necessarily the actions. Our heart is not oriented toward what the Lord has said and declared about us, but instead turn inward on itself. And those faithful to the Lord should care about that inward intention in our heart far more than outward appearance. And that's why Jesus said these words, shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Because you see, those people that he was talking about, that he had in mind, were the Pharisees that liked to dress up in all their favorite garbs and look out on the street corners. They said nice, long prayers that went on forever and ever and ever. And they would say a bunch of words that they want people to stand there and go, wow, I've never heard that before. I wish I could be like him. That's what they're there for. And so what's really interesting about what Jesus says here is he says almost the opposite. And not the opposite necessarily to condemn them entirely, but saying, this is what your repentance would look like. Because if you truly had devotion to your Father who is in secret, you would go and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. Because they can't handle being in front of people. They can't handle having people stare at them, and they want the praise. So truly to repent for them was to go lock themselves away and pray to the Lord, because then they would no longer have that temptation. And I think we could say there's counterexamples to what things we've already talked about, those things that we said earlier, that there are counterexamples of repentance that can take place for those people. So if you're struggling to love your neighbor, or really love your enemies, but if we go all the way to that, but if you're struggling to love your neighbor or those even within our own walls here, well then be reminded that our first love is Christ Jesus. And that because he's our first love, we love because he first loved us. And since he loved us, that love overflows and it then has to go to other people. And for the gossiper, they should be reminded that there's a value to confidentiality. Our Father who is in secret knows all of our sins that we've done in secret, knows all the things we've ever done that are wrong, and yet he is fully confidential. He doesn't share that with anybody and knows it to himself, but yet he still forgives us. So neither should we go and gossip about our neighbor's secret sins or their sins that we have witnessed. And the one struggling to forgive then should also be reminded that Christ forgave us, and that because he forgave us, that love and that forgiveness is overflowing as well. We can't help but not give it, because if we are full of that Holy Spirit that he has given us, we cannot help but do it. And so they can turn those stubborn hearts and look at Scripture and see what he offers us. Now, when the Spirit of God turns our hearts back to him, some people might actually view this as hypocrisy. They're going to. They're going to see you changing what you used to do, or maybe something you did against them, and they're going to go, I don't really believe you. I think you're wrong. And this is why we're talking about this. We said it was maybe viewed as a get-out-of-jail-free card, or they're trying to sweep it under the rug really quick. They might view it that way, but this is why it's important to recognize that both hypocrisy and repentance are about the heart, not necessarily about actions. And so changing your actions and changing your heart back toward the cross and back toward Christ, that's actually sincerity. And people might not be able to see that, and that's okay. And so they might view what you're doing as hypocrisy, but they can't see your heart. Only the Lord can. And that's what matters. And so as Christians, we ask for forgiveness, not because we're hypocrites and we like to go and show off and say, oh, hey, look at me, I'm going to forgive you even though you hurt me so much. No, we go out and we face our shortcomings head on and we ask for forgiveness and we forgive because we recognize that we are fallen creatures, and to face them head on is to recognize that they're not acceptable. And we say, yeah, we fell short. Please forgive me. Really, though, someone who is a true hypocrite does the opposite, as we've said already, that their heart is turned in on itself. And they don't value that sincerity of forgiveness, and so they try to cover things up, or they try to make up for it by doing all these other things to try and show how good they are and that you shouldn't be upset at them anymore. And this brings us toward the end of our text and what our Lord meant when he said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Unlike the people described earlier in the text, Jesus calls all Christian believers to seek approval from God, not from man. And at first, that kind of doesn't sound too fun, because seeking God's approval is almost, we should know, harder than getting our fellow man's approval, because we don't add up to all the things that God is looking for. But luckily, and thankfully, we know that the Lord's approval is not something that we've had to earn on our own, but that approval comes from Christ and his death, and that is where that approval actually comes from. And so laying up this treasure in heaven is actually recognizing that your faith is far greater than any praise that could ever be received from other people and any facade we could put on to try and trick them to think that we're good people. And instead, that acceptance, that being seen by God, is really what this Lenten season is about, is this change of heart that slowly drives us closer and closer and closer to the cross. We'll finally get there in Holy Week on Good Friday. And then when Lent ends, it pours over to Easter, and then we get to look at that for our new hope. That is what Lent is about, not doing these good works to show off to everybody, but to lead us eventually to what Christ accomplished at Calvary and then what he confirmed for us on that day of resurrection. And being seen by God in light of Christ's death is really our goal. And so it's not blindly looking the part and saying the right things and lacking that faith that looks to Christ, but it is looking to the cross. And if we catch ourselves falling into this hypocrisy, we can humbly pray that the Spirit of the Lord will change our hearts, and we can apologize and forgive if need be. And need will be. We're all going to have to forgive somebody at some point or another, and we should, because it's the Christian thing to do. And we shouldn't worry that someone might view that forgiveness as hypocrisy for us approaching them and saying, I'm sorry for whatever I did. And that is the purpose of Lent, is to reflect on our hearts and to pray that the Spirit mend and turn us back to the cross and slowly push us throughout this Lenten season and be reminded of what Jesus accomplished for us, that he was tempted, that like the people of Israel out in the wilderness for 40 years, he also has experienced all things that we too experience, all because we're sinners, and yet he offered that forgiveness at Calvary anyways. And while we enter the season of repentance, reflecting upon our own sins, and perhaps our own hypocrisy, if we can call it that, we can have a hope, that we are seen by our Father who is in secret, not as hypocrites, but sincerely repentant believers now seen through the eyes of the cross. In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we will bring forward our tithes and our offerings. Please rise for prayer. And please note that after each petition, I will say the words, Lord, have mercy, and the congregation will respond with, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks that for all your goodness and blessings, you for the love and that sustains us from the day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all the faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure our hearts, all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Save and defend your church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and your holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially our President, Donald, and all those who administer and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we pray for all of those in our congregation who might be dealing with long-term afflictions or illnesses. We pray especially for Alice, Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Mary Ellen, Bill, Gary, Bryceton, Joe, Kim, Brandy, Andrew, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Chelsea, Norma, Ron, Renee, Brenda, Donna, and Janice. Lord, grant them your peace this Lenten season and letting them recognize that you, O Lord, died for them on that Good Friday. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All of this we sum up in that prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we would invite anyone forward that would like to receive the imposition of ashes, and we'll start by having me, and then I'll get Randy, and then anyone else will be ushered up here as follows.
From dust you came.
Dust you are, and the dust you shall return.
From day to day, without your grace,
dust you are, and the dust you shall return. Dust you are, and the dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
Close by your side.
Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return.
Your only sin, no sin to harm, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become.
Please rise. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord look upon us with his favor and give us his peace.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn.